flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Howard out of the shotgun, back to pass at his own 25. He'll gun that deep down the right side, and it is caught by Jeremiah Smith at the 30 of Notre Dame. He's taken to the Fighting Irish 10-yard line by cornerback Christian Gray. Howard to Smith, getting the Buckeyes in the Giant Eagle red zone.
That was the nail in the coffin for Ohio State. They're your national champion. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. It's great that Ohio State remembered that Jeremiah Smith was on the team in the second half. That was the big catch, and he had not had a touch in the second half. And then when they needed him, there he was, Perloff. This was a game that got a lot closer than I think anyone at Ohio State was hoping. It was a comeback mounted by Notre Dame, a flawed comeback, though. They lose 34-23, and Ohio State, who won the first ever college football playoff when it was a 4-team playoff, now they win the first ever college football playoff when it's a 12-team playoff.
Yeah, I mean, I can describe that Jeremiah Smith play as sometimes I'll play sports with my kids, and just for their ego, I let them back into it, and then I just block their shot at the end. It's like, oh, yes, right. We have an NFL team, and you are a amped-up service academy. We can do this whatever we want. It's like Ohio State woke out of their slumber and made it quite – that was like a pitch and catch.
Yes.
Why did Will Harrell do that every play? That's like make the whole plane out of the black box, make the whole offense out of that. But Ryan Day had other ideas, and it worked. Luckily, it worked. Notre Dame's comeback was close. It was still, I felt like Ohio State had some control, but that was just a great, great dagger to the game, and that must have felt amazing for Ohio State fans.
Oh, of course. I mean, considering the lows of losing to Michigan again, a lot of, you know, people in the fan base really questioning Ryan Day, almost like looking for reasons, more reasons to move on from him. We're questioning whether he would just walk away from the job, like take the North Carolina job. I mean, there were just so many things that were thrown out there. And to be fair to Ohio State, I think this is the most impressive run that I've seen from a college football national champion. And I know there's been undefeated teams. I get that maybe that's harder, but this was the most impressive thing I've seen.
Because explain.
They had to win all these extra games, and this was not the little sisters of the poor that they had to run through. So you have the low of the low of beating Michigan. In any other season, some meaningless bowl game is actually your final game. And that Michigan game is the last thing you're really going to have. And the future of the program might be in doubt. Who knows what the changes are? Instead, you host Tennessee, where 30,000 volunteer fans invade your stadium, beat them easy. They had one of the top defenses in the country. Then you take on number one in the country, Oregon, a team that we have so much respect for, Perloff, and a team that, you know, was rightfully the number one team. You avenge a loss to them, yeah. You take them out.
That was super impressive.
And you
both
raced them. It wasn't even close.
Yeah.
And then you have to take on Texas, another great defense, top defense of the country, and you have to do it in the Cotton Bowl. So
wow.
You basically have a home game for the Longhorns, take care of them, and then Notre Dame, take care of them. It wasn't perfect. That I'm not saying that. But this is the most impressive from the depths of where they were to now having to run through that gauntlet of teams. This was beyond impressive to me. I think this is the most, not I think, I know, this is the most impressive run that I've seen a team make to get to the title.
I I'm a little shocked at this. Like, most impressive run in, like, the history of college football? Like, define your terms here.
Well, because it just got so much harder. You know,
won't next year's be just as impressive?
Well, if maybe a number 8 seed goes on and wins, then maybe I'll say, all right, maybe that was equally impressive. But Ohio State did not come into this game. Yeah, they had expectations this season. People thought they'd be this great team. But then it didn't play out that way.
They lost two games. But I don't understand. So the fact that they played below their talent level during the season, that's what makes it impressive that they rebounded from it? Is it the fact that they ran through a 12-team playoff? Because next year's team will also win through a 12-team playoff and therefore be either the first or second most impressive team.
Well, we don't know, though, because what if next year's team gets a bye? What if they tweak the format? What if they make it easier for the top seeds and harder for the lower seeds? Like, this was the guinea pig of the season,
right?
Of this college football playoff. And Ohio State, yeah, they got lucky that they were able to get into this 12-team bracket, but then they drew a really hard assignment here. Tennessee, Oregon, Texas.
Well, Tennessee and Texas.
Tennessee had a phenomenal defense.
Tennessee and Texas.
The SEC, who wants to tell you that they are the best conference going away, well, this was one of their best teams. Team that beat Alabama. This Tennessee was a worthy opponent.
I think this is ridiculous because, like you're saying, when you say that, you have to clarify that you're not comparing them to Joe Burrow's LSU team, are you?
Well, that's different. That team might have been the most dominant.
Right.
I think, like, this team is most impressive because of what they overcame.
Okay, but they're the one super team left in the entire sport. Like, they created this situation that they had to overcome. It was only them.
They created the problem and then they solved it.
Yeah. I mean,
that's how you get ahead in this country.
They're obviously one of the rare national title teams not to win their conference. They're one of the rare two-loss conference title teams. And one of the biggest things, like, their run was impressive, but I mean, look at the Notre Dame team they beat last night. That was not, like, compare that Notre Dame team to the Manti Te'o Notre Dame team that got destroyed. Like, this was a beat up, one-handed Notre Dame team. It's hard for me to look at that. It more felt like Ohio State won despite themselves, in the sense that, like, they are by far the most talented team, and then they just got out there and they were the superior team and held on for dear life. Like, they played not to lose. We saw, as I mentioned earlier, they could have thrown that pass to Jeremiah Smith all game long.
Yeah.
But we saw Ryan Day and Chip Kelly all year be so scared to use all their talent.
Yeah, well, I think it was a little of what Notre Dame was doing too, right? I think that they were deciding...
Mean nothing?
Well, on defense, deciding to bring pressure, which anyone would have done on 3rd and 11. I think that anyone would have done that. You're sensing...
At that point, they were desperate, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And you're sensing that maybe Will Howard's going to make a mistake. Maybe he's going to throw the ball away. Maybe you're going to get a sack. Maybe you're going to sack fumble. Who knows?
But Jeremiah Smith was totally absent the entire game. Like, why you have... It's actually, historians are going to look back on that and say, was Jeremiah Smith hurt in this game? Like, why did they not use him?
Early.
That is like... They have this. There's no wide receiver core like Ohio State, and yet most of the time they had Will Howard doing 4-yard runs.
855-212-4227. I think this is the most impressive run that I've seen. Not to try to be prisoner of the moment, but no one's had to run a gauntlet like this. Now, is it different than going undefeated? Yes, very different. But you give any other team in the country and stack them up against an SEC team in Tennessee, Oregon, Texas. And then, yeah, maybe Notre Dame was a little hurt. Their offense was not as explosive as some other offenses, but this was a team that also had a great defense, and Notre Dame deserved to be here. They also deserved to be in this title game. This wasn't...
Yeah, but I mean, it felt right. Obviously, Oregon was way better than Notre Dame.
Right. Like, well, that's a question also. Did this 12-team playoff actually crown the rightful champion? Like, we eventually got to the right answer, but if you do the work and you show your work like a math problem, was that all correct?
A lot of prognosticators said, wow, Notre Dame's side of the bracket is so easy, they can get through this. So, and that actually ended up playing out. Yeah, listen, Ohio State is amazing. Like, they have so much talent. I just think that to call it the most impressive run, in fact, I think it's like one of the most... least impressive runs in the sense like they it should have been even easier. Like it definitely should have been easier. Like there's no team like this. There's just no team with a bunch of seniors on defense and a bunch of superstars on offense. Like that's never going to happen again. This is the last, I heard it described this team as a dinosaur. It's the last of a breed. Like there's never going, in the NIL era, we're not going to see this Ohio State team again. So in a sense, it's like they can breathe a sigh of relief because they didn't screw it up. That's the vibe I got from them. Like, phew, we didn't screw it up. Okay. We did what we were supposed to do.
Well, definitely some sighs of relief, especially from Ryan Day
After last night,
the coaching staff, no doubt, because that Michigan, like, again, I think the fan base was just waiting for a reason to bring up that Michigan loss again and have that be the thing, because that's what's important to that fan base. Yeah. And who am I to tell you that you're wrong? But I thought that Michigan did this last year. They brought everyone back. Now, the offense wasn't as explosive, but they had that same kind of vibe. We're all coming back to win the national title. That part of it to me was not so crazy.
Well, yeah, but Michigan didn't have this talent level. Like, if you, these guys are real NFL players, like big stars, except for the quarterback. I mean, you have Jeremiah Smith and Mecca Ibuka, Carnell Tate, JTT, Sawyer. You have Quinshon Judkins and Travion Henderson. Like, that's not Michigan. Was not quite like that.
No,
and,
but Michigan's defense, like, those guys, I don't know. I feel like I'm watching those guys in the NFL. But to,
Michigan is good. But I think
what Michigan... And I watched J.J. McCarthy get as a top 10 pick. Where'd he go? 11? Top 15 pick.
Right. But I thought Michigan, that just my opinion, like there's no collection of talent like Ohio State. As far as if you follow like 24/7 recruiting trips, like this is just like five star, and they paid through the wazoo for this team.
Yeah. Here's a question I think that I'm not sensing from maybe the public at large. I'm calling this impressive. Do people really respect this Ohio State team?
I don't think so.
Yeah. Well, okay. Let's get to the heart of it. Let's get to the real things, like therapy. Let's peel away what's really at the issue here. I think it's because it was expensive. The roster's expensive.
They came in. I don't know how they weren't the number one team. Like I remember saying like, "Whoa, this is like the Vince Young dream team of the Eagles." Like, how is this team possibly going to lose? Because
don't compare them to that.
Because Georgia, you could see Georgia's roster just whittle away in NIL. That's the thing. Like, there's never the Georgia-Alabama era is gone, and that's why, in a sense, it's almost the least impressive run because you no longer have the super teams of the last 25 years.
Yeah, but you now have Oregon in your conference.
That's not a super team. Not like Alabama. Not like Joe Burrow's LSU team. Or,
well, I mean, Joe Burrow's. Let's put that to the side because that might be one of the greatest college football teams we've ever seen. I mean, literally, it might be. It might. We could do a great debate. Alabama, I think we did a great debate.
They beat Alabama 45-42 that year. Like Alabama was the same team. Like the pros. Look at 2021 Georgia. Like and look at that lineup. Like this is not the same. I mean, Ohio State's close, but like we're never going to see this again. So now it's like it feels more like the NCAA tournament where. The actual tournament itself defines the action more than a
dynasty.
Yeah,
of a team.
So okay. Like it's like I think, to be fair,
UConn is coming off of back-to-back titles, so kind of feels a little dynastic there. But no, I get what you're saying.
I feel like you're saying like that's the most impressive thing to run through an NCAA tournament. Like that is what you know. You have to do take so many challenges, but that's going to happen every year. So next year's team is going to have to go through a similar run, probably a harder run. Like, things kind of fell right for Ohio State this year.
You thought this was easy?
Well, yeah,
Tennessee,
I mean,
Oregon, Texas.
Tennessee, nobody came in that season like, whoa, I wonder if you can beat Tennessee.
Yeah,
I mean,
but you know how people feel about
Tennessee?
The SEC.
You watched Tennessee.
They had a great defense,
they had
30,000 fans
they
invaded the horseshoe.
Show me the Tennessee wins that blew your socks off.
They beat Alabama.
Yeah, I know, at home.
But let's put that aside for a second, because I think we're getting to the real part of this. I think this is the most impressive run for a college football team because... of the gauntlet and because of where they were and down in the dumps and
resilience.
Yeah, the resilience. And then, but I think there's another issue here. I don't know if people like this team.
No. Like the Fab Five Michigan team or.
Well, that was like a cultural.
Or I'm just saying like there's a crossover into non-Ohio State fans. Like, why would it?
I don't know. Cause I think people love stars. And I think that we're going to watch, as you said, a lot of these guys are going to be starring at the next level.
Yeah, but they didn't star at the college level because Ryan Day and Chip Kelly would not call plays for them.
Interesting.
I mean, which stars would you think people like? Jeremiah Smith, for sure.
Well, he's not coming out. But yes, people love him.
Yeah, right. He's
people don't
the
like
one.
Travion Henderson. We've been watching him for years. I mean, he seems super likable.
I think Smith is an interesting
Jack
cross.
Sawyer, JTT.
I feel like, yeah, neutral fans are, okay, those don't quite jump for me.
All right. I mean,
it's just this idea that there's something about Ryan Day. I think that.
Okay, so it's the coach.
No, I think it's the team and the coach and the style and Ohio State. Like, of course, people are like, a million people are Michigan fans, a million people are Notre Dame fans. Mm. I just don't think Ohio State is lovable ever.
Okay.
I mean, do you?
Well,
like, no. I've never heard anyone say, like, man, I'm just a neutral, huge fan of this team.
I don't know. I thought that the polarizing teams are more of the Notre Dame.
Notre Dame used to be polarizing.
Used to
yeah.
be polarizing. We talked about whether or not Marcus Freeman has turned them into a likable team.
Yeah.
And I think Michigan was often polarizing because they had this arrogance about them because the school is such a good academic school and Michigan man and all that stuff.
I think Ohio State has a little of that too. A little bit of the Michigan man. They have a light version of that. They also have they remind me of the 2009 Yankees that won a title with A-Rod.
Okay.
Just like wildly more talented than everyone and just happened to win.
Okay, but since when do we not reward the wildly talented when it's sports?
Because nobody liked that 2009 A-Rod Yankees team. Like, I mean, if you like that team, then you got something wrong with you.
855-212-4227. Manny, love that team.
Well, if you're not a Yankee fan, it's like, man, I love watching Matsui and A-Rod back-to-back in the lineup. That's just like not like a neutral fan would never jump on that team, I don't think. You would like the Jeter team, but not that team.
Man, I love Matsui, and I'm not even a Yankee fan. Let's go to the phones early and often. Why not? 855-212-4227. We all watch this national championship game together. Frankie is in California, says, I am wrong. This is not the most impressive run in the history of college football.
Absolutely. I can't believe that Ohio State can lose to Michigan and then win a national title and then think that they've done something.
Well, but here's the thing, Frankie. Don't hate the player, hate the game.
Hold on, let me finish.
Yeah.
Let me finish. Can I please finish?
Yeah, go ahead.
So as soon as the pressure is alleviated from them to win, they start winning.
Yeah, but
that's true.
That doesn't mean they didn't have a tough opponents on the other side. You know, you think there was no pressure for them to beat Oregon?
None.
To beat Texas?
None. All they had to do was beat Michigan, and once they lost, they start winning because there's no pressure at all. The worst team. Oh, and by the way, this is a thing that I take personally.
Okay.
Is LeBron James is on the sideline wearing an Ohio State hat. He went to school.
Well, I mean, he's from Ohio.
Yes.
He can't root for the state university?
We should create...
First of all, there's a university called Akron that won a national title in soccer. Where is he?
The Zips.
Frankie, clearly you're joking.
No, I'm not. This is the most pathetic thing I've ever seen. Ever.
There's a lot of pathetic things out there. LeBron James, who's been a staunch Ohio State fan. Frankie, listen.
Notre Dame is, it's all bad.
Okay, but hold on 1 second. Frankie, great call. You're making me laugh this morning because, listen, there's a lot of annoying things about LeBron James. He lies about insignificant things like seeing The Godfather.
Right.
You know, sometimes he gets, if you don't like athletes, talk about politics, whatever it is. But LeBron James has been very consistent about the Ohio State fandom. Okay, the Cleveland Guardians and New York Yankees stuff, maybe we got to clear a little of that up. But you got to give him credit. He has been with Ohio State. He said he would have gone to Ohio State. He thought about it.
By the way, you're right. Also, the Cowboys and the Browns, he sort of mixed up a couple times.
He kind of goes back.
But I got to tell you, if you're adding your list to likable or not likable, you think LeBron front-running this Ohio State team is going to make this Ohio State team more likable, then you're crazy.
But, all these teams have celebrity. Is Matthew McConaughey hurt in Texas? He's annoying as anything. Come on.
But he's there every game. It does feel.
LeBron's got a job. He's got to play basketball. He can't just follow around Ohio State.
But you're asking if this Ohio State team is likable. Like, this LeBron. Cheering for them to a lot of people, like, oh, again, geez, you front runner.
See, LeBron sitting at a Yankee game, I get. The dude's from Ohio.
Yeah.
No,
he's all
cheering
He almost sent his kids to Ohio State.
Like, he went back to Cleveland, guys. Like, he loves it. He claims this part of the country.
Right, but there's definitely a vibe like, oh, LeBron,
he
come
could show
on.
Up at a
come
Miami
on,
Hurricanes game to all of a sudden be like, I'm all
he
about you.
Yeah, I mean, but I think, Maggie, you're missing. LeBron is like three steps away from Drake. Like, if he had a chance, like, he would be he be on the sideline? Like, watch him next year. Like, I'm sure he'd root for Oregon. I've seen him root for Oregon. If the Oregon makes it all the way, you don't think he'll be up there?
I think he's contractually obligated because of
that. Nike. That really might be in the contract.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, so he goes to watch Oregon. That's funny.
And wherever,
we're 18 minutes in the show, we already got to LeBron James.
Where did, I can't even remember, where did Bryce go? Some random place.
Bryce, he's still in high school.
Oh, Arizona.
Arizona, right.
He's going to Arizona, but he's still in high school.
So he's
going to
root for Arizona. Yeah, there is, like, LeBron definitely has a fandom that is annoys people because it does go all over the place. I think Ohio State took some shrapnel from the whole conflict over the Yankees and the Cleveland and the Cowboys.
I mean, of all people, though, Perloff, you cannot be the one who has a problem.
Mr. Listen, I don't have a problem. Like,
you're an Eagle fan who loves Dak Prescott. Like, this is so sacrilegious.
I can't even love Dak Prescott. I personally think he's a nice guy. He seems a person. I met him for 35 seconds. Yeah, but again, like, that's a good, there's a couple good debates here. Is Ohio State likable?
I don't see why not. They're a good team that delivered on expectations. We normally reward that kind of thing.
But they're also kind of I compared in the 09 Yankees, I kind of feel like they bought this team. I think that vibe's out there.
And you want to know what? Actually, a lot of guys came back, so it's not even like they bought the team. This was a team where dudes had felt like there was unfinished business and could have gone to the NFL and came back. So I don't think that applies. And every team is a bought team.
Yeah, but Ohio State, this feels like a particularly bought team. Like, this, even coming into the season, people were raising their eyebrows at the payroll of this team.
But don't you think that's like saying you don't want to root for
the Yankees? Yeah, it's the same vibe.
Well,
they're just not as good because they always come up short.
I was saying it's like you don't want to root all of a sudden for the Chiefs because everyone's getting a paycheck. Like, it's professional sports now.
Totally different vibe. No. I'm comparing Ohio State to the Chiefs to the other. The Chiefs don't overpay. They don't outpay the other teams. They use ingenious and grit and just guts to win the title every year.
Ugh.
They don't outpay everybody. Ohio State clearly just outpaid everybody.
But
why do you think JTT and Sawyer came back, by the way, because of their just love of the alma mater so much? Get out of here. They got cash.
Yeah, but they would have gotten it at the NFL. 855-212-4227. I don't understand where the Ohio State backlash is coming from.
It's not backlash, it's LeBron James,
what you're going to,
that,
Frankie.
By the way, that's a big part of it. That definitely does not help. I mean, a lot of people don't like LeBron.
That's fine, but I don't remember this backlash when he's sitting. Literally, there's a question about whether he's a Yankee fan or a Cleveland Guardians fan. But he's sitting there rooting on Cleveland when they're in the World Series. Was there a backlash to that when they were playing the Cubs?
That was a different time, though.
There was a slight judgment. I don't think there's a backlash against Ohio.
Do you hate all celebrity fans? So this is like...
No. Just LeBron jumps around too much. I think that's what people think. But the other thing about Ohio State, it's not like there's backlash against Ohio State. There's sort of just a mild, like, they're all right. Like a mild antipathy. They're not even interesting enough to have a huge backlash.
I hate them, so.
Yeah, why do you hate them?
You call yourself the Ohio State? I mean, come on. That's enough. You
gotta
watch
every football
game. It's the emphasis on the?
Yeah, every
football
game.
Are we nitpicking a little?
No, that's not nitpicking. They're like Michigan, right? Like, they have that. Like, we're better than you.
Yeah, there's a pretentious mindset. And, like, to some degree, I kind of respect it because they are Midwest, and, like, I kind of like that they have a little chip on their shoulder. But you can't have a chip on your shoulder and say you're better than everybody. You can't do both. Either you're the little sisters of the poor, you're the underdog that's pulling up your bootstraps, or you're better than everybody. I respect Notre Dame because they don't hide the fact that they think that they're better than us. Mm. Ohio State wants to act like they're the everyman, but then also say,
okay,
call us the Ohio State. Give me a break.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hold on, though. They could claim in this run a little chip on the shoulder. They're the eighth seed. They had two losses. If there was any time for Ohio State to be able to claim the nobody believed in us, this was the year because nobody believed in them.
But you say the eighth seed like there was anybody above them that everyone thought was better. It was the
Oregon.
Nobody thought Oregon was better. They were favored in that game.
To me, it's like the opposite because they're low on the AC because of, like Perloff said, their own screw-ups. Like, it wasn't anything we did. We came in, we had the number one. We all thought they were the best team. It was that they came out, they screwed up the game against Oregon, then they choked against Michigan. That's their fault. That has nothing to do with us. Why are they now saying, oh, you guys didn't believe in us? Didn't believe in you. You didn't go out there and take care of business.
And their choice to be conservative and cautious cost them two games. I mean, that's why they're a two-loss team. If they had just come out with a you know, different attitude, be like, we're better than you, and run over everybody. They were clearly the best team.
Okay, I think the question is, a couple questions here for the poll. Is this the most impressive or least impressive run? I guess. I think most. I think you guys are giving me least. And the other part is Ohio State likable? 855-212-4227. You're welcome to call in on that. We have a lot to do today. A lot more from this game, quite frankly. And did Notre Dame... Was this also some coaching malpractice going on in this game where Marcus Freeman was one of the hot names now in coaching, but did they blow this one? 855-212-4227. And we, of course, have a lot of NFL to unpack as well. Don't move, MMP.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. Ryan Day, of course, is stating that because he knows 37% of the fan base still wants to fire him, even though they won the national title. Yeah, he's
sure
not a dummy.
Low?
He knows that he's actually doing PR. He's trying to do spin on this. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we won the national title. What do you want us to do? Because there are probably people like, yeah, but four in a row? That ain't good. It's amazing.
Yeah,
you have to win a national title to save the season. That is like a unique situation.
I always wonder sometimes, like, about his safety. You know, the way that Kirk Herbstreit was getting emotional last night after the game ended.
Oh, that was not all well received, but go ahead.
No, but he's like, I know what goes on behind the curtain here and how much. I'm like, is he in danger?
Well, physically danger?
Well, I wasn't sure. Well, okay, everyone gets fired. You're a head coach in football.
You are hired
to be fired. That just comes with the territory. These guys get super rich. I'm not worried about that. But it kind of made it implied like that their safety was at stake.
Got it. Yeah, who knows? I mean, this is an intense rivalry. It's the intense rivalry. It's the only intense rivalry left. And to keep losing the way you're losing is tough. This obviously makes up for it. It's just a... It's such an interesting dynamic that you could have such a high and such a low in the same season. And I do think, believe it or not, I still think the resume has that Michigan loss on it. I think there are probably people in Ohio are like, yeah, they won the national title, but they did lose to Michigan. Like, there's no other national title team I could ever think of that has a little asterisk next to it.
That's crazy. Now Ryan Day has as many titles as Jim Tressel, as many titles as Urban Meyer. His record overall is 70-10. It's like, I don't know about this guy. Like, the fan base is still in wait-and-see mode.
You know, it's so funny. Like, there was a great argument. The 2014 team that won the first Final Four, mm-hmm. like, they might not have been in that. Like, that committee easily could have left them out. They could have put in TCU or I think it was Baylor were right there. They kind of snuck in just like this Ohio State team snuck in. There's no 12-team format. We wouldn't even be talking about any of this. There'd be four teams, and they would not be Ohio State.
Question, was this the most impressive or least impressive run for a college football championship? I say most. Perloff leaning least. Charlie is in Texas. We're also wondering, why is Ohio State not seem to be likable? Charlie, you have a theory.
Well, here's the deal. Coming from the Northeast and being around Ohio State people, Penn State people, the fact of the matter is that going back to the theory of the Ohio State, that is the mantra that they all live behind. Ohio State fans, students, everybody that goes there. I've been to plenty of keggers and stuff. And the fact of the matter is that they have that mentality all the time of either, you know, you hate us because you ain't us.
Yeah.
But they live that mantra all the time, whether they're the best or they're the worst. Mm. And they never really think that they are the worst. They always think that they're the best. So I think they have that constant chip on their shoulder, but they also don't really give you an embracing feeling. I think that's why some people despise this win, because they just don't really like Ohio State. It's not a whole thing where, oh, they're the most hated franchise or anything like that.
Yeah, right.
But they just don't really embrace you and pull you in to where you're like, yeah, I'm okay with them winning.
Okay. Okay, Charlie, I mean, listen, it's as good a theory. I kind of lean more towards Charlie's theory than the fact that LeBron James is there rooting him on, turn people off. Maybe there's like it's like an insular thing. Like, it's either, you know, if you're not with us, you're against us. In sports, though, I feel like these are the things that are touted as like good things.
What do you mean? What good things? Being the favorite?
Well, no, just like having confidence, thinking that you're the best team, doing a little versus the world, you know.
But I think people are saying
everyone does that.
They say we're the Ohio State, whether the results are good or bad.
Well, I understand, they have a pedigree.
Michigan, Notre Dame, Ohio State, like a lot of these teams have this arrogance thing. That's fair. I can.
So people don't like Penn State because they go, we are.
Well, Penn State, though, it feels like lately the little sisters of the poor. Like, they're underdogs because they keep losing big games.
Little sisters of the poor. I mean, yeah, they made the national semifinal.
Yeah. Everyone's like, whoa, good job, little Penn State. They just keep getting killed by Ohio State and Michigan. But regardless, I do think, Penn State doesn't have it. It's Ohio State, Michigan, Notre Dame are the three teams. USC, when they're good, they have it a little bit.
Glamour, though. That's a Hollywood type of thing.
Who else has it? Like, there's certain programs and certain teams in sports. Like, the Yankees are at the top of the mountain. They're the Duke basketball, Notre Dame football. Those are the three most famous, like, oh, these people are
the
so
Cowboys. Arrogant.
I mean, the Miami Hurricanes also were major villains.
But that's different.
Yeah, it's totally different.
Different dynamic. They were
a lot
actual,
going on
like,
there, but yeah.
They embraced their villain role, where the other one, other teams just, like, sort of thought, come off like they're better than everybody.
Mm.
Yes.
Interesting. Bogish is here. He's got headlines for us. Very busy Tuesday. What's up, folks?
All the headlines are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Insurance for motorcycles, boats, and RVs for protection on the road and on the water. See how much you can save at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com.
You suck, Bogish.
For a while, it looked like this was all we were going to get from Notre Dame.
First and goal from the one. Here comes the 18th play of the opening drive of the national championship. Hunter takes it. He'll keep it. He's in. Touchdown, Notre Dame. It's the opening drive of a lifetime.
We're still waiting on confirmation of that, but it definitely was an 18-play, 75-yard TD drive that ate up the first 9:45 of the national title game in Atlanta. The problem was, Ohio State scored 31 points on its next five possessions, but the Irish did make them sweat. Two touchdowns, two two-point conversions to make this a one-score game until that 56-yard pass to Jeremiah Smith on 3rd and 11, which eventually led to the clinching 26-yard field goal. The Buckeyes win their first title since 2014, number 6 overall, 34-23. Here's head coach Ryan Day.
There's been some great, great teams in the last, 50-some-odd years at Ohio State. Great teams, great players. Only three have been national champs, and these guys are one of them.
You know, on the hate front, guys, I feel like we kind of dodged a bullet with this team because they should have probably been undefeated national champions, and they weren't. And if they were, though, we would have had a lot more angst about them. Like, this is a hate. This could have been a more hated team because they're so good, and they spend so much money, and they should have pillaged people all year long. And they messed around and didn't.
And even last night, you saw a little bit of that attitude where, like, they're like, where they got conservative on offense.
Yeah, I mean, like,
they're up by three scores.
Right. I mean,
and Notre Dame doesn't exactly.
I think even
have an
Ohio State would say,
offense.
"Oh, darn it, we got a little too conservative. We let them back into that game." I think even Ohio State thinks that.
Probably, I guess if they were undefeated, Bogues, I think people would respect it more. I think there's a lot of people who believe that because they messed up, like EJ said, they messed up at Oregon. They were a 20-point favorite against Michigan and blew that. And kick save and a beauty to win the national title, but it was a problem they invented. I think it's impressive. If they had been an undefeated national champ, we would have had there could have been no criticism of them, right?
Well, but the Ohio State stuff would have been on 10 had they gone to Oregon and won.
Yeah.
Had they boat raced Michigan.
Yeah.
They'd be planting flags, waving flags, chanting chests out the entirety of the fall.
Got it. So this is less of it's Ohio State's world and we're living in it. They were kind of lucky to get the second chance and did what they did with it. Interesting.
I don't
think that's going to stop them from celebrating.
Probably not. NFL coach hires now coming fast and furious. Ben Johnson's the guy in Chicago. Aaron Glenn might be the Jets' next head coach. The Lions' D coordinator and the former Jet player will be in Jersey today, and we're told the Jets don't want him to leave the building. If he does, though, at least the Saints are waiting for Glenn. The Atlanta Hawks let us down yesterday. Steve Holman had to bite his tongue at the Garden.
Whoa, Brunson has been upset all night. Dyson Daniels has shut him down. And now the foul. Brunson complaining to the official. Who do you know I'm Jalen Brunson?
We could have had more of that. Instead, Brunson scored 34 with 6 assists in a 119-110 Knicks win. I believe the last time the Hawks were at the Garden, that's when Young played with invisible dice at midcourt. Brunson said that wasn't on their mind yesterday.
To be honest, whenever we play in front of this crowd, I mean, there's no extra motivation. This is the best place to play, regardless of what happens. We don't need extra motivation.
It's like Lou Gehrig acoustics in the garden yesterday.
Today I consider myself lucky as man. It's like
man.
Can we, someone check on Brunson.
Brunson saying that post-game on MSG TV. A huge quarterfinal, the Aussie Open this morning. Carlos Alcaraz taking the first set off of Novak Djokovic. Coco Gauff lost her quarter to Paula Badosa. The Toronto Blue Jays are signing former Orioles DH Anthony Santander, 5 years and $92 million. And on ice last night, the Jets took a 5-2 loss in Utah. The Leafs topped the Lightning 5-3 for a three-game win streak. Guys, back to you.
Bogish, thanks so much. All right, Ohio State, likable, not likable, and was this the most impressive or least impressive run to a national championship? That's on the table for you at 855-212-4227. Also coming up, is one quarterback winning a Lombardi trophy inevitable? Give you a hint, that quarterback is sitting home right now. Maggie Perloff.
We are the New York Knicks.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. We're talking about the national championship game from last night. Congrats, Ohio State. Finished the job. Snuck into the college football playoff, really, and go on a pretty epic run, in my opinion. Taking out Tennessee, taking out Oregon, taking out Texas, and then Notre Dame last night. And the game got entertaining as well. There was a controversial moment where Notre Dame's trying to mount a comeback in the fourth quarter, and they get it to a two-score game. So it's a 16-point deficit. So you need two touchdowns, two-point conversions. But they're facing, Perloff, a fourth and goal at the 9. So tricky spot here for Notre Dame because their offense is not really the thing. This is a team that's led by their defense. So on a 4th and 9, they attempt a field goal.
Yeah.
And doinks off the left upright. But the idea is you would kick a field goal and it would still be a 2-score game. It would be a 13-point deficit. Marcus Freeman said afterwards, it's easier to get 14 points than get 16 points.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they did hit the 2-point conversions. But not only that, it actually did work out time-wise. But then if Ohio State got a field goal, then the game's still on. Like they were still... they'd hit that field goal, you could argue, you could squint and say, well, if they could have kept enough time on the clock, then they still would have been 8 points down because they lost by 11, right? So, yeah, I mean, it was crazy. I don't think anybody liked that field goal call, except nobody liked that field goal call, but nobody on earth thought Notre Dame was going to convert that 4th and 9.
Well, that's the tricky spot if you're Marcus Freeman. It's like, I get what you're talking about, but at the same time, like, you kind of had to go for it there.
No, I think that's 100% of everybody thought he should have gone for it. I don't think anyone...
But no one in the world thought they were going to convert
No, it's a catch-22.
Although this guy, Greathouse, Jaden...
he made some crazy plays.
He has had the college playoff of a lifetime. I was trying to think of who are the really big like winners and losers from this whole run. And I think you got to put him as one of the clear winners. I mean, two touchdowns last night and the 2-point, right? And even last game against Penn State, he was fantastic. He's like their only guy, and he's not even one of their main dudes, or wasn't going into the playoff, and he's been fantastic.
Well, again, and I think Notre Dame, you might look at that game and say, well, why did we pass the ball the whole game? But I actually thought it was a point of the game. I'm like, ooh, what if they'd gone with that backup quarterback who's a really good passer but not a good runner?
Steve Angeli?
Yeah, the guy who threw the punt on the fake punt. Yeah.
That I'm wasn't like, a great throw.
That was a good throw. I mean, he had nowhere to go. They sniffed out the punt. And he was covered. That was actually a beautiful throw. I thought the guy should have caught it. Nowhere else he could have thrown it.
No.
The guy was perfectly covered, and he got it in a 2-inch window.
It got the throw got there, but it was low. And
if he had thrown it high, it would have been a pick six. The guy was completely covered. They sniffed out the whole play.
Yeah.
But I thought Riley Leonard held on to the ball way too long, so many times. I kind of get it. But Ohio State obviously had a vulnerability at cornerback. Like, I didn't know the penalties on the cornerbacks. You had to. Your advantage was you thought after that first drive you could run it on them, and that was a mistake. You actually got fooled by your first drive, and
it was a great first drive. Yeah. I think it took a lot out of Riley Leonard too. I think he needed a couple drives after that to recover because he took such big hits.
But then they should have. They once they figured, oh, we better pass the ball against this team. That's a way to get to them. It was way too late.
You know, Marcus Freeman, even after the game, said, we can't win if we're just going to do QB sneaks the whole time, which is ironic because it got him this far. But Mike Denbrock is their offensive coordinator, who is really well-respected. I don't think he was throwing him under the bus, but I was surprised that he said that and pointed criticism.
Anybody watching that game, it's like, what offense are you running? This is not an offense. The QB sneaks... QB runs in every level of the sport go for 8 yards a gap because no one's expecting the quarterback to run. I've never seen more two-yard quarterback options in my life. Never seen in a football game where the quarterback keeps running and goes for like 1.5 yards. What are they doing?
Jeff is calling from Tucson. Jeff, do you realize this morning people are saying your Buckeyes are unlikable?
Come on, Maggie, really?
It's not me. I called this the most impressive run to a college football title I've ever seen.
Okay, so, you know, I've been calling in for weeks.
Yeah.
Beating up to this, right? Because I'm a graduate. But look, if we went undefeated, I would agree. We'd have been land of flag, you know, everywhere. But, you know, we snuck in there, just like a couple other teams snuck in there. And we did what we had to do with the roster we had. Now, granted, it took a big play at the end to seal the deal.
Yep.
It made a lot of the betters happy. We kicked that field goal. And the other point I want to make is, and then I'll leave you go, Will Howard, he did more than manage the game. And why are people talking about Will Howard going to the Browns at number 3?
About him, going into the NFL in the draft?
Yeah.
You know, Jeff, congratulations, your Buckeyes. I thought it was impressive. Everyone's trying to throw cold water on you today. I thought it was impressive. To be fair... Your pal, and I think now my pal, Jim Nagy, Perloff, he was really your friend when we started this show, and Jim's been a great friend of the show now. He comes on with us all the time, executive director of the Senior Bowl, was a longtime NFL scout. He came on with us. EJ, you tweeted this last night. When was that November?
Yeah, it was November.
So when Will Howard's stock could have been lower in November.
But this was right before the Michigan game, ironically.
But still.
Right, yeah, but still.
Stock in the media. We have no idea what the teams thought of him.
Right, but so here comes Jim Nagy. And he says, you know, I don't understand why no one's talking about Will Howard and how he almost went to the NFL last year. And if he had just gotten this call from Jim a day before he went to Ohio State, maybe he would have gone to the Senior Bowl and gone to the league. And he said, I don't understand why he's not getting more Heisman love. I don't understand why he's not getting more just attention nationally. Lays an egg against Michigan, terrible game plan, etc. I think Will Howard helped himself. We talked about Jaden Greathouse. Will Howard made himself a gajillionaire last night.
Oh, I don't know.
Think so?
Is he a first round pick though? I think Jim was saying second or third round.
Even still, I mean, second round pickup. That's Jalen Hurts is a second round pick, and he's a gajillionaire. So I think
it's possible
you come in and maybe you're a high end backup in the league forever. Maybe you get a chance to start. Maybe you become a Brock Purdy. I don't know.
Well, yeah, but I think Will Howard probably before this run was a fourth round pick, and now might be a second round pick. That's kind of how is that
big
a gajillion there?
Well, it's the option.
I mean, maybe Jeff's right. Maybe he sneaks into the first round. Number 3 feels a little rich, but he definitely has physically you eyeball it like, oh, that looks pretty good.
Here's
but
what he has
it's hard
going
to tell
him.
With that offense because they're so conservative.
But here's what he's got going for him. not a good quarterback draft. Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders, kind of the two at the top.
Yep.
And I'm looking around at the options for like free agent quarterbacks and stuff like that. So you're looking at Sam Darnold, who, you know, is coming off of two bad games. Russell Wilson, does anyone think he can still win you a Super Bowl? I don't think so. Aaron Rodgers, Kirk Cousins, like all these guys are super flawed.
I mean, maybe there's a chance that he's this year's J.J. McCarthy. Like, McCarthy was not really a first-round pick until he went on that run. I mean, maybe he was. We never know. We always say that. Like, we're talking about media perceptions of where the picks are slotted. Yeah, I mean, that's a really good point. He's big. He's got the tools to be an NFL player. It's really hard to tell in that offense because, I mean, there's just a lot of handoffs that go into the line in big games. Like,
isn't that more of a Chip Kelly problem, than a Will Howard problem? Howard.
It's just very hard to evaluate him. There was this idea that Ohio State was afraid of Will Howard.
They wanted to minimize his impact.
But I don't know. I don't think Ohio State read that right. I thought if they had just come out and let Will Howard throw it all over the place, he would have been good. Yeah, I mean, it feels like he's always been slotted between the second and the fourth round. I don't quite think that changes, but, I mean, supply and demand, you never know. You never know which quarterback is going to go crazy. You got a couple of other guys. You got Jackson Dart, who's super red hot right now in the draft community, which, again, is just the media.
Yeah.
And you still have Jalen Milroe floating around and maybe Quinn Ewers. You know, I don't know. You have to squint to see those guys, but they're still, like, you never know with the NFL draft process. There might be someone who Anthony Richardson went number four overall. Played 13 college football games. You watch the NBA draft. Those guys have we've never even seen them play at all. The idea of the future guy is enticing to teams. Will Howard, we know what he is.
Right now at Maggie and Pearl on X, you can vote. Is Ohio State's national champion run the most impressive or the least impressive? Right now, least impressive is winning. And do you consider Ohio State likable? No, in a landslide, but it's early. 81% of you say no. All right, coming up, lots more to do, including more NFL.